It's good to be back home. I missed everybody. Thank you so much for your prayers. I prayed for you, and I know you were praying for me. It was a very full week. We did a lot. Travel, we had grace and favor from the Lord. Because nowadays, when you travel, especially in certain places in the world, if you go and you come back and to still be on this earth, God still wants you here. You know? I am so thankful for the past couple trips I did. George was very gracious to take me to the airport very early in the morning and come pick me up very late at night. But this time I had two other soldiers because I thought, man, I'm going to give George a break, you know. I'm thankful for Jerry and Bernie for contributing into my going and them picking me up last night at 11:30. So that was good. Kingdom greetings from Haiti. The guys are doing great. Church is growing. Saturday we had cell group leaders training. The church is growing, so there's a lot more people that needs to be in home groups. So I did that Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday morning. That was the first time myself I was part of two services at the church. That's something I always wanted to do, but we could never do it. We never had enough people. But now there's a full pack house, and they're loving the Lord. I see the work. I preach at the first service, and then Brad Vorter from Georgia, who went with me, preach at the second service. And then Sunday afternoon, Brad and I took a short trip to the country because knowing that the week would be full, we went Sunday night and we came back Monday morning. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was the ministry school, and I did another training on Wednesday for cell leaders. Friday was the graduation. I'm very thankful to God because we needed a big old generator for the ministry there, and the Lord provide the money last minute, you know. And so I was able to purchase the generator there and hook it up on Friday. They use it for the first time. You know, wherever the kingdom is oppressed, it will grow. Wherever the gospel, and I told you this already, and I'm going to say it again. When faith is the only thing, and my wish is that for all of us here, faith would be the only thing you have. I hope that faith is what you're holding on to. I hope your faith in God, not the security of America, because maybe, that's all we know, not the security of our bank account or of our, you know, faith, you need it. Once again, this week I saw it. I saw faith at work. I saw people, it's very unsafe. The government's still crazy. Roadblocks, protests, people dying. But I saw the kingdom. That encouraged me. I saw life, the testimonies. You know, the graduation was live on Facebook, but everything is in Creole. But, I wish I could translate the testimonies. The 2020 class had about 118 people, and 68 of them graduated. So what we did, we studied the Old Testament on top with a bunch of other subjects that had to do with spiritual growth and church leadership and whatever else. But during the graduation, we told the kids, you got to testify. They invited their family, their neighbors. And there's one guy, he had a testimony. He said, I'm not going to testify. I want my wife to come up. They were about ready to divorce, to separate. But then when a friend invited him and paid for him for the school, when he came to the school, he started reading the Old Testament. You know, the New Testament talks a lot about the Jesus, you know. The New Testament doesn't really reveal the character of God. The New Testament revealed the ability or what we have inherited through Jesus Christ. Because a lot of people think God is so lovey-dovey. God is love. But do you know he is a raging fire? Do you know that God, the kingdom is not a democracy? Do you know the kingdom, to come in the kingdom, you have to give your right. To follow Christ, you got to give your right. And us, humans, sometimes we don't like that. I don't like giving my right. I have rights. But I saw it. So many testimonies. I mean, I came home. I'm physically tired, but my spirit is like this. I'm ready to go. I'm glad to be back. And today, I'm going to share with my heart with you. Of course, we're reading James. As we walk into Thanksgiving, I know this is a week where everybody is thinking about, you know, Thanksgiving and, you know, being thankful to God and country. But there's a verse. Thank you, Captain, for sharing what you share in Exodus, right? What chapter was that? Deuteronomy 8. Sent me a text on that. I'm going to put that in my message this week. But that's a good verse. And add that, to add on it, let's read Psalm 50, verse 23. It says, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. God is saying, those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. And to the blameless, I will show my salvation. So God loves a thankful heart. God loves someone who is grateful. You know? So let us continue to show thankfulness, gratefulness. Everything we have. I mean, everything, even this life, is from him. So I'm going to live the rest of my life honoring him, praising his name, you know, giving him room in my life, in my family. As for me and my house, we will serve him. As for me and Lansdowne Community Church, we will serve the Lord. We will continue to honor him, you know, and I am so thankful for what God is doing in this community. So, of course, today I was going to teach on James chapter 3, talks about the tongue, but the more I was thinking this week, I figured I'm just going to have a chat with you. So therefore, if I would have a title for my message today, it would be, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Or, in other words, I lost my glasses, so this is my reading glasses. I don't see you when I do this. So, let us not get tired in doing good. Because right now, there's a lot of people that are getting tired of being good. It's a lot easier to be bad. It takes zero efforts to be bad. Why? I mean, if you guys are like me, you try so hard to be good. And you see how hard it is. But yet, to be bad, I don't have to work hard. I don't have to work hard to be a bad person. I don't have to work hard to be a bad pastor. There are bad pastors out there. I'm talking to many pastors, preachers. I know a lot of them. I've trained many of them, even in Haiti. I've got a couple, one that graduated, one full-time pastor that graduated at our new session last Friday. I have pastors in Georgia, Florida, a couple of them, Ohio, not Pennsylvania, Ohio, I've got three of them, Georgia, South Carolina, and Virginia, North Virginia. So I talk to my guys. I talk to my friends. And we're talking about a lot of things. You know, like I said this morning, I want to talk with you and I want to open my heart like I always do. But today I feel like this chat we're going to have is going to be a little more personal. I want to remind us that we are citizens of heaven. We are kingdom citizens. So therefore, let us keep a kingdom perspective on this life. Jesus is returning. Jesus is coming back. But until he returns, we still have to face every day. We still have to face people. We still have to deal with our political situation, our financial situation. We still have to deal with our family situation. Because we've got kids, we've got brothers, we've got unlovable people sometimes. But we still have to face them. We still have to be nice. You know, I am going to take this time today to encourage us to keep a kingdom perspective on, especially on the political and historical dilemma that we are in the world, in our country. Haiti is going through the same thing. This past October, they were supposed to have election for a new president. It didn't happen. So can you imagine? The year the election was supposed to take place, didn't take place. So you've got the opposition that's just been trying to, overthrow the government. And the government is powerless. And you've got gangs taking the streets. You've got the country that's being destroyed. Guys, it broke my heart to see the road from the airport to my house is 12 miles. In the past year, the roads has become a dirt road. Most part of it. It's rough out there. I don't see how people live without the hope in Jesus Christ. But yet, you see people that are struggling to send their kids to school for $50. You see somebody that says, there's a great testimony. One of the students, you know, graduation is a big deal. Because, you know, it's a party. They love it. Culture-wise, it's amazing. So you have, I had one guy that testified. He said, you know what? I've been coming to school with a pair of shoes that had a hole in underneath. But the last week of school, the shoe was kind of very ugly. And he's like, man, everybody, graduation, everybody's going to put their best. So I'm not coming. The guy said, I'm not coming. But he knows God's word. He was set. He made a decision, I'm not coming. Why? Because he doesn't have a nice shoe. He's not coming when. The night before, so he said he's not coming. He makes the decision. He's not coming Wednesday. On Thursday, through his time with the Lord, he got convinced that he's going to come no matter what. Whether people see his shoes or not, he's going to come. Thursday night. Yeah. Thursday night, somebody came see him, bought him a brand new pair of shoes. Didn't know he needed a brand new pair of shoes. And when I'm telling you this, I'm relating a story. But everybody, I mean, when he's giving his testimony, everybody's is screaming. It's like, hallelujah. It's like there's a party for the Lord. A guy that's standing in front of us here, came to the podium. Graduated, spent 9 months in the word, saying he used to be a gangster, killing people, and he's testified, telling you all the things he has done. His family rejected him, but in the past 6 months, the Lord has restored his life. Not only his life, but restored his relationship with his family. This is what the Lord does. That's why I say we gotta keep a kingdom perspective on everything we do. I tell you guys, we're not just Americans. We are kingdom citizens. And therefore, we have to live. This is my prayer today. And I declare and decree in the name of Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will not fear the terror of the night, because there are fear. There are a lot of terror right now. Nor the arrow that flies by night. You all know this. This is Psalm 91, verse 5 and 6. Nor the pestilence. I pray that even the whole pestilence of COVID-19 will not affect God's people. Or if it affects you, it won't kill you. Okay? Understand that we live in a fallen world. Excuse me, so I've been preaching all week in Creole. In a fallen world. Okay? So therefore, thank God that we're covered. Guys, you are covered. You do what you need to do. God gives you wisdom to know how to live on a daily basis. But do not walk in fear. Do not live in fear. I said a couple weeks ago to keep your love on. Keep your love on. You know, there's a certain degrees out there I have to keep my long johns on. I don't know about you, but this, I know Anthony does from the island, so I like it warm. I know Anthony doesn't like it warm. He likes it a little chilly, right? That's right, buddy. But me, once it gets below 70, it's like, I need extra layers. So I need to keep my love on, my long johns on. Guys, keep your love on. Keep your grace on. Keep your acceptance on. Keep honoring people. Because God does the same thing to us. You know, one of the things when I talk to pastors, I realize some of them are having a lot more problems than I do. Because I have one of them that a lot of people left their church over this whole political situation. Can you imagine that? So remember, let me remind you today that we are free to disagree with one another. Oh my goodness, guys, it breaks my heart. Breaking my heart to see how far kingdom people has fallen and get emotionally involved and don't understand the body of Christ. There's no division in Christ. We cannot be divided in Christ. There's unity in Christ. We're not the same. I mean, even in your marriage, 32 years, they can tell you, man, some of you guys are married longer than 32 years. We are two different people that have learned to accept each other, right? I don't know. That's how it works for me and Kendra. She's completely different than me. But I had to learn to live with her, and she's mine. So therefore, there's no take it or leave it in the marriage. It's all taken. Because I have made a decision. She's mine, and I'm hers. That's why we have divorce. And I believe the body of Christ, that's what we lack. We lack commitment. When we have kingdom commitment to Christ, he connects us with each other. So divorce here, kingdom commitment to you. I'm not going to bail out on you. Never. There's no divorce here. It's the same thing with our, even if I'm not full-time in Haiti, I tell the people the same thing. I'm your friend. I'm your family forever. There's no divorce. Do we see things the same? Of course not. Do we like the same thing? Of course not. Let me tell you a story. When I first got married, my wife didn't know how to cook Haitian. So that was a big trouble, and nobody warned us about that. So we didn't see it coming. It caught us by surprise. But then, you know, she's American. She tried her best. But I remember she was very excited to introduce me to pancakes. And I was just like, what is that? Man, who eats that stuff? Pancakes for probably the first 9 or 7 years or so in our marriage, I hated pancakes. I'm like, how do you guys eat your eggs gooey? I mean, what is this thing? Oh man, this is just not good. I like my eggs hard still today, all right? But you know, we had to learn. And I remember, I like when she tells the story, the day we were living in Florida, probably back in 2004, 2005. I don't know, but I guess my taste bud changes. But then she grew up, she brought the kids up on pancakes, you know, mama's pancakes and eggs and stuff. But I'll never eat the pancakes because I'm like, man, this thing doesn't taste good. I remember that day I tasted pancakes and I realized, man, what have I missed? I've been missing. Oh, my goodness. So something happened somewhere in my taste bud where I start liking pancakes. And Kendra, one morning, I told her, I said, honey, can you make me pancakes? She's just like, what? Who is this person? She thought I was joking. No, but something happened. Do we like the same food? No. Do we see many things different? Yes. But the commitment kept us together. And the more we are committed to each other, the more we become like each other. Right? 32 years. It's crazy, man. It's like you look at Sam, you see Laurie. You look at Laurie, you see Sam. Because they share life together. You know, so like I said, we are free to disagree with each other because not only because we live in America, because I know this is how it should be. In America, what do they say? Land of the free, home of the brave, something like that, right? I think I did it backwards. Help me out. Land of the free, home of the brave. This is it. I was thinking this week, I'm like, man, you know, I think God, our life is in God's hands and he does things. And I've said it here before and I'm going to say it again. Because when I talk about America, I feel I'm proud because I'm an American. I'm not just on the sideline. The well-being of this place, I want the well-being of this place. I'm not just a legal immigrant that wants to smooch off of this land. I want to see revival. I want to see live in the land of that's they're free. I want to see the brave live free. But let me tell you this. As you get to know me, you may strongly disagree with some of my political view. And I will always defend my right, your right to disagree with me. As much I would ask you to defend my right to express my view as a preacher. Now remember, in this pulpit, in God's office, I don't preach my personal conviction. That would be a wrong thing to do. But because we are kingdom of heaven, because we live in a free world, you should be okay if I think, that would be crazy, that's kind of a crazy idea, but I know some people, they're colorblind. If I think the walls are gray, they're not gray, I know that. But I bet you some people, when they look at these walls, they think they're gray. Maybe they are, but I don't. But I know they're not. Meaning, I say this to say, it's okay to see it different. I talked to another pastor friend. He says a lot of people left their church because they were praying for President Trump. Guys, look at me. 2 weeks ago, I made a comment. Maybe that's maybe some of you might forgot about it. And it shouldn't be wrong if I say this is who I'm supporting. But you know what? The next president, if it's not Trump, as we speak, that we know there's a lot of fight right now. I don't know. And if it's Joe Biden, I'm going to pray. Joe Biden's going to be my president. I'm going to support him. There's a lot of fight out there. So why should I be so emotionally involved in the process while they're trying to figure it out? Why should I be so nasty to my fellow brothers? I think we've lost it. We've lost it. As much as I am free, and I will defend your stand, maturity will show that. You will show maturity when you can accept brothers and accept your view. And we can still brothers and best friends. I tell you, that's another level. That is another level. And I'm calling us to be that way. We cannot be a church of Republicans. God didn't call us to vote Democrats or Republicans. We cannot be. In this church, all is welcome. All are welcome. I mean, I have reached out to many people that I have not been coming back. Some of them, I haven't got any answer. Many times. I'm a preacher. I'm also a pastor at heart. When I came here, there are some people here. COVID-19 hit and did a lot of damage. Some people still don't want to come back, but that's good. I don't blame them if they don't want to come back. But they're not communicate either. I have reached out to a lot of them. Some of them don't answer my email. They don't answer my text. At the beginning they did, but now they don't. But now I got the message. They don't want communication. But you know how immature that is? My response, I am responsible for you, but you owe me accountability. When I don't see you, I think of you. I pray for you. You know, maybe some of them are watching, but I told you today, this is not preaching, right? It doesn't seem like preaching. We're having a talk. And it's a good talk. Most people don't want to talk about things. This dude, Ricardo Francois, is not like that. I talk about things. Okay? I'm not afraid of conflict. Because I will hurt you. Why? Because we are in a relationship. When we are in relationship, we hurt each other. There's no doubt you're going to hurt me. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to talk about it. And I'm going to forgive you. You're going to forgive me. We're going to hug each other. The kingdom prevailed. Because we don't live according to the world standard. And that's why people out there, they hate the church. That's why they don't want to come to church. Because the church is a bunch of hypocrisy. Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to appeal. Everything is fine. And then you know what they do? They divorce. They divorce the body. They don't understand the body of Christ. We don't divorce each other. We are very strong when we're united. You know, when we're divided, and I tell you guys, the slogan for Haiti is "United we stand." United we stand. L'union fait la force. United we are stronger. That's what it says. But since 1804, they got their independence. That country has never experienced unity. Because they put themselves together to do something good. It gives it a month. They start fighting with each other, either for power or money. And then they kill each other. You know, in the lifespan of Haiti, between 5 and 8 president that did a full term. A full term is 5 years. And you can only have one term. And then you can come back again. You cannot go two terms in Haiti. But in the history of the country, only 8 president did their full term. Everybody else overthrown by coup, what they call the coup d'etat. Of course, A country like that, as beautiful it could be, will never prosper. People like that, people that live, you know what grieves my heart? Is you see a bunch of young people living in their own country and it looks like they're living in exile. Full of potential. You see, there is no law and order. You see the corruption. It's like it's to the max overflowing. It's like, when does it stop? Yes, of course we pray. And we ask God to give grace. But as for us here in LCC, you know, if anybody chooses to leave or to turn their back on us, I want them to know that it's not my choice. It would be their preferences. Here in this church, we are Christ's church. I write it, and I put it in bold. Christ is the pastor. I have no intention to do anything else. I have no other plans, guys, just to follow Jesus. I don't want a name because my name, I don't want to become famous because nobody can be saved in my name. I want to be famous in my house, in front of my wife and my children. Those are the only things God is going to keep me accountable for. But I don't want to be famous as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher in the Bible. I don't want that. I'm called to lead Christ's church. Therefore, I want to stay so focused on Christ, especially now, to know exactly what he's doing. I don't want us to be distracted. That's why I keep saying, keep your love on. Keep your love. Remember my long johns, okay? You know, when you know the weather is getting cold, you say, hey, pastor's got his long johns on today. Because I ain't taking any chance. All right? You know, here, as I was writing, say we are a church for Lenstown Community Church. As I was writing this down, I remember last year I was talking to Captain and the rest of the leadership team. I really love the name of Restoration. As a matter of fact, our church in Haiti, I almost renamed the church Restoration because when I see the gospel, I see restoration. When I read the word, I see restitution. As a matter of fact, there's a group in Haiti I was helping and they needed a name. I told them, I said, well, I have a name. Call yourself Restoration. And they did. All right. So last year we were having a talk. I was like, man, guys, you know, I'm new. When I decided to stay, I said, I'm new. A lot of things gonna change, and I'm not even considering to change the name of Lenstown. But now I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad we talked about it, but we never make the steps towards doing it because I realize we are a church for the community, whether they know it or not. We are a church that has heaven over us. An open heaven over us. Lenstown is a church that welcomes all kinds of different political views. Lenstown is a church that will defend the right for people to stand for what they believe politically. Lenstown is a church that welcomes all forms and shape. We are the Church of Christ. Just like we are open to receive all people with different doctrinal views. It doesn't matter. I mean, a couple months ago, I was hoping he would come on Sunday morning, but I haven't seen him. A monk came and talked to me. I love that. He wanted to know about Jesus. You know, I mean, he knew, but, you know, it was a great encounter. I loved it. I've never spoke to a monk before to see what their stand. Everyone is welcome. And what do? We let them face the word of God. This is our foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. The word of God is the foundation. Thank you. Yes. You know, and at the same time, I want you to know, and I'm asking you to pray and encourage me if you can. I want you to know that I will never compromise my calling. As a preacher, I will never compromise my calling and my conviction. I try to base my conviction on the Word of God. That's why I told you at the beginning, I will never preach my personal conviction. There is a difference between what the Bible says and personal conviction. Okay, I'm going to take I'm going to give you an example. Someone who has a chin, I'll never put a tattoo on my skin. But I can't say someone who has a tattoo is a sinner. That's so stupid. You know there are people that preach that? That's my personal conviction. I don't see the need. Plus, I love my skin so much. That's my personal conviction. I love my clean skin. That is a personal conviction. Okay? So therefore, I have no right to tell you my personal conviction when it comes to a tattoo. Is that cool? So all my friends out there, if you love tattoo, go get one. I tell you, man, I pray for God to give us grace. Because we have fallen away from this and we create our own walls when we preach religion. And then you know what we do when we build walls? We keep people out. People think we are a club. People think, well, they don't have part of this. Everybody, I speak it, I pray it. I said, everybody have part. Everybody's welcome. Did you know in Haiti when a lady wear pants, they perceive as prostitutes? So I started preaching the word of God, and I told people at our church, I said, you dress decent, but you're welcome to wear whatever you want. And then people in the community start talking. This church, this church, that. They call us the heathen church. They call us the devil's church. But you know what? Right now, there's revival in our community because we stick with it. There are churches, they don't allow the women to speak. They took that verse where Paul said, told the ladies to be quiet in the church out of context. And get the ladies to shut up. Excuse me. That's what they said. I know that's a rough way to say it. But you know, that's what they say. They tell them, be quiet. You don't have the right to speak. When the Holy Spirit is dwelling in a woman as much as he's dwelling in me as a man. The Holy Spirit doesn't see man and woman. And I'm angry about that. So I will not compromise my convictions. I will not compromise this place because I fear God more than people. I will never, never preach things to make people happy. If I preach something, you find life. It's for you. And that would be my goal. Is for you to always be encouraged. It's for you to always be challenged. That's why I want to base everything I bring, everything I teach, I want to base it on the Word of God. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Paul tells pastors, particularly, as a servant of the Lord, you must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. We must be gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. See, in your Bible, I would underline the devil's trap. Because the devil's got tons of trap out there. For they will have help for they have been held captive by the devil to do whatever he wants. You see, I told you earlier, I am aware of the platform that God has given me as a pastor. And sometimes, I know people like to remind me. I've talked to many people. I mean, even in Haiti, here people have a sense some people might not want to tell you. I realize this is a very personal culture. But in Haiti, they're verbalized. They tell you what they think. You know, and I've experienced it. And I get it. I understand. This office is not something for me to take lightly. You know, it's a great responsibility. Oh, man, if God doesn't call anybody, I don't know why they get themselves into it. But I also believe, and I see it, because I'm called, because I understand God gives me grace for it. You know, the worst thing is when you're trying to help somebody, they misunderstand you. Oh, that's the worst thing that can happen to a pastor. I take to heart the biblical responsibility here in 2 Timothy. I do. I take it to heart. You know, Paul challenged me to be nice, to be kind. When people don't agree with me, I have no right to hate them. I have no right to turn my love off. You know, I don't know if you guys have. Peter, could you turn those lights off for me, please? The light on the stage, just turn them off, please. All right, everything, these two, you know? Yeah. See, I know some people, they have switched like that in their hearts. They turn the light off. Depending on how you behave, depending on how you do, they turn their life off, their love off. They turn the switch off. We don't have a switch. God doesn't have a switch. See, God doesn't see us certain ways. You can turn the lights back on. Thank you so much. You know, now it's like, because I'm doing good, God's like, okay, I'm going to turn the light back. Let's not do that. He doesn't do that. So let's not do that to one another. Because you don't see it the way I see it, that's no reason for me to ask Peter to turn the switch of my love off. Am I making sense this morning? I tell you guys, I'm sharing my heart with you. Before, I mean, I'm writing those things down. I'm like, man, this is tough stuff. But I choose to make a stand because that's who we are. We are the church for Christ. Let us not be weary in doing good. I told you I'm aware of the office. But I'm also aware, after I talk to many pastors nowadays, I'm also aware of the righteous indignation that Jesus displayed. The apostles, they displayed the righteous indignation, you know, over the hypocrisy, the religious hypocrisy. And of course, I would add, I'm aware of the righteous indignation that the more unrighteousness our land is facing. You know, we are called to take a stand against immorality. But then it's not against people, because we're not fighting against people. Someone who is immoral, that's the word, right? Is that how you say it? Immoral. Is being influenced by an evil spirit. You know, someone who is smoking and killing, drinking all the time, killing their lungs, they're missing something. Because if you love yourself, if you know your worth, there's no way you're going to keep drinking to kill your lung. I mean, smoking doesn't take you far from God. It's destroying your body. It's not just smoking, eating all the time. Where you not disciplined in eating, and your body's gonna pay the price. You know, sometimes we think about sin, when we talk about sin, we think fornication, adultery, backstabbing, and all those things. You know the list. But then we forgot gluten, we. When we have more than enough, we forgot about people eat too much. You know, eating too much can be a sin. It can be. So I'm aware that I need to make a stand. And sometimes when you talk about those things, that doesn't make you popular. Okay? Dear people, I got it. I'm okay with it. Because I fear God more than I fear people. That's why I wrote it here. I believe a kingdom preacher is not hired. The Bible says, yeah, you need to take care of your pastor. You need to make sure, yeah, there's enough money to take, you know, for him to eat and have what he needs. But I'm also a plumber. And I'm proud to be a plumber. I can get a job. Because I see people that goes into ministry for it to be a career without a call. And that's when they compromised. Guys, I got to do it right. Because I'm called. I'm following the King. I'm following Jesus. And I know when he returns, he wants a pure bride. Whether we're 20, whether we're 30, whether we're 200, the number doesn't matter. The quality, that's what he's looking for. I told you again, and let me remind you again, when you come here, you see some of our chairs are empty. Be glad. We have full of angels filling them up. The presence of God. Yeah, do we need the numbers? Yes. Will they come? Yes, they will. But the church is not a growing number of people. But it's this number right here that's growing in intimacy. This number right here that understand the commitment we have with each other. This number right here that understand we are a holy church. This number here understand, man, we are a church that's going to intercede. We have more than ever need. We need more than ever to, more than ever, we need to intercede for our country. We need to intercede for the generation, what they call the Generation Zs, right? The millennials. Generation Y, actually, they call them. We need to call. We need to pray for them. I told you we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against the principalities, against the demons. And then the demons are influencing people to hate each other. The Bible says no hate in God. There is no hate in God. The Bible says in 1 John, if anybody hate their brothers and sisters, they haven't seen God. There's no hate. There's no hate in God. You cannot hate anybody and love God at the same time. It doesn't work. That's why I'm going to repeat myself. Keep your love on for the unlovable. Because we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 22, 21 to 23, it says, while we were yet unlovable. And you know yourself. I know myself. I wasn't lovable, but the Lord still showed me grace. While I didn't deserve his grace, what did he do? He gives it to me. I got to do the same thing with people. I got to do the same thing. I got to give people grace, especially when they don't deserve it. Can I do it? Yes, I can. Can you do it? Well, it's up to you. I'm making a stand. Can I do it? Oh, yes, I tell you I can, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. Can you? Oh, it's up to you. And I believe that's what we need, the church. We need the church to wake up. America needs to wake up. But when we say America needs to wake up, I think the church, I'm saying the church needs to wake up. The church. I'm calling all of us here to wake up, to make a stand. We kingdom citizens need to make a stand. Wake up because we are in war. This is not a game. We're not fighting against people. It is a spiritual battle we're facing. And I tell you, the demons are fighting for the very soul of America. I didn't grow up in America. And I haven't been here for long. But I see it. I understand spiritual battles. I understand the demons. I have seen demons. Because I live in a place where everything is influenced by demons. August 15, August 15, I don't want to say the year because I don't remember. But there's a big old ceremony where, once again, maybe 1804, don't matter. There was a ceremony where they dedicated the country to the devil. Uh-huh. You and I know what the forefathers did when they discovered this land. They were Christians. The Mayflower, thinks when they touch ground, Thanksgiving Day is a good day for us to be reminded that when they touch ground, they give thanks to who? To God. They didn't kill a pig and drink the blood and offer the country to the devil. You and I know what Satan does good, right? He does three things good: kill, steal, and destroy. So anybody that serves Satan, their life are being influenced or marked by three things: killing, stealing, and being destroyed. Culture-wise, when you celebrate Halloween, December, what is it? November 1st, November 2nd, and 3rd? October 31st? I know sometimes people make it, it's good, give the kids candy, it's all good, okay, culture. People turn their house, their front yard into a graveyard. You know what you do? You open yourself to evil spirit. In Haiti, it's worshiping of the dead. You wonder why people are being influenced. You wonder why there is sometimes one family, most people died through car accident. Or most people died through some kind of crazy disease. It's all demonic. Now, unless you understand the spiritual atmosphere and the spiritual reality, everybody's going to think, well, that's not a big deal. I've seen it. And I tell you, that's why it's a lot easier. It's very easy, when I say easy, for me to see it, knowing where I come from, the experience I had. This week, I'm going to send you guys a picture. In a fire, where Satan is revealing his face, its face. Satan burn, destroy. Anywhere you venerate, or not venerate, anywhere you're honoring the spirit of the devil, three things are going to happen: killing, stealing, destroying. And now, it starts with the family. Killing, stealing, destroying family. Families. It starts with school, right? Killing, stealing, destroying the schooling system. Well, let's go to church, all right? So now we're putting people in authority that doesn't understand kingdom values, so they're going to work against kingdom values. So you know how you're going to affect the church? Killing, stealing, destroying it. They're going to quiet the preachers. They're going to put restriction on what to preach and what not to preach. This is just a little chat I wanted to do with you today. I know it's a lot. But I believe that we have ears to understand. There's a good quote, and I'm going to finish with reading 2 Timothy. Edmund Burke, he said, quote, "The only things necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it." Another pastor in Germany said, "Silence in the face of evil is in itself evil." James chapter 3, first couple of verses, talks about the tongues. Controlling your tongue. Watch how you speak. Today, I'm going to challenge you, before you speak, even before you comment on something, ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It helps me. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So if I don't know if I'm not sure it's true, I don't repeat it. Now, everybody around me might know or think it's true, but I don't know yet. So until in my utmost being, I can stand on it. Today is Sunday, November 22nd. I don't care what anybody says. Because some people might think it's Saturday. And you know what? They might even think, not only they think it, they want to have an argument. But then me, I've got a calendar. I'll pull it on the internet, and it will tell me today is November 22nd. So guess what? I don't even have to argue. I know my right. It is true. Today is November 22nd, 2020. I give you this example to tell you. Don't get intermingled in things that you're not 100% sure about and have a nasty argument and lose your peace. The peace Christ Jesus gives you. Is it true? Well, even if, is it necessary? I mean, is it worth it for me to get into this right now? Is it worth it? And you'll know. If it's not worth it, don't. Is it kind? Because we are called to live in love, to walk in love. Love is kind. Is it kind? Is it kind for me to say that? Is it kind for me to comment? Is it kind for me to... I've seen it. I actually deleted my Twitter account. And I'm actually thinking about... I use Facebook to preach the gospel. But you know, Facebook is becoming so violent physically because people get so emotionally involved. Even in Haiti, I mean, I've got tons of people following me. I've got tons of people that I watch too. Sometimes, you know, you see something, you want to read it. And you're like, man, there's a big fight. There's a missionary website, Facebook page I'm part of, like all with all the missionaries in Haiti. Guys, you would be surprised the things that's going on there sometimes. Because the lack of faith, I mean, lack of grace, the tongue. Remember, the tongue might not be speaking, but the fingers, the brain is expressing. Ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? That might even help you in your marriage, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your neighbors. Remember, biblical views, that's what matters. I said it earlier, and I'm going to finish with it. God didn't call us to be Republicans or Democrats. Wherever you stand, we are one in Christ. Wherever you stand, and take a stand with me to not allow the devil to divide us. I'm asking the worship team to come up. Open your Bibles in 2 Timothy. I'm just going to read that. And then we'll finish. It says, don't be naive. 2 Timothy 3. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. Money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsive, wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. This is the message. I love the message version, okay? Addicted to lust and allergic to God. Allergic to God, but addicted to lust. This is the last day. They will make a show of religion. And that's why I banish the spirit of religion here. Make the walls of our religion be broken. You know what's going to happen? God is purifying his bride. And only those that are super hungry after God will survive. Even COVID-19 is showing you. A lot of people have lost it because of COVID-19. I'm going to encourage you to keep the faith. God didn't call us to be on the left, on the right, but He called us to one destiny. What is it? To follow Jesus Christ, to be united. Amen. Let's stand in the presence of God. I want you to lift up your hands as I pray. Father, I thank you. Stand in the presence of the Lord. I thank you for today, and I thank you for your church. I thank you for each person here that we're listening to our conversation. We're having a conversation with me. Of course, I talked a lot, but they heard. So, Father, I bless them, and I ask Jesus that you would baptize us with the Holy Spirit, to continue to be prudent as a serpent and to be simple as the dove. In this world, we will have trouble. But God, we choose not to take side, but we choose to live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing together.